Ave Maria Radio and Renewal Ministries presents Fire on the Earth, a compelling look at the new evangelization through inspiring teachings, interviews, and testimonies. Here's your host, Peter Herbeck.
Welcome, friends. This is Peter Herbeck, your host. I'm going to talk today about the return of the Lord. I've been looking through the Acts of the Apostles over the last couple of weeks, really following the scriptures that the church is giving to us in this season and the beautiful passages from the Gospel of John as well. And the Lord preparing his disciples for what's ahead for them, helping them see not only what Jesus is heading toward, his passion and his death, but also the mission that they were being given to follow in his footsteps. And so the apostles declared to us what they've been given from the Lord, and it's so upbuilding to hear it. It's wonderful. If you haven't had a chance to tune into the program this week, I think the simplest way you could do it is go to our website at renewalministries.net. You can listen to the programs right there on our website. Even more simple probably would be to just download the app, the Renewal Ministries app or the Ave Maria app. You can listen to my program, but Sister Ann's programs, the television programs, Ave Maria's programs, whenever it's convenient for you. So in moments we're living through, like the current one, it has a kind of apocalyptic feel to it a bit. And one of the things I've done over the last few weeks is go back and read the book of Revelation. The book of Revelation essentially gives us, number one, first, the revelation means unveiling. It's the unveiling and the revelation of the majesty and the glory of Jesus. That's number one, I think, in the whole book, is that, and then related to that is how God's plan unfolds in human history, dimensions of it, the spiritual battle that's present in it, how his church is engaged in it, and then ultimately what's going to happen just before the Lord returns. And there's debate among Christians about what that's going to look like, but the Catholic Church is pretty clear of her understanding of it. Of course, only God knows the day or the hour, but it's actually important for us to be able to know more about this. I think for a long time, you know, for me, I was kind of ignorant about what the church taught. I think most Catholics are in that position that, well, we can't know anyway the day or the hour, so plus the book of Revelation is confusing. It's so full of symbols and the rest. It's hard to understand the numerologies and the rest. But there's a lot that we can understand from it. It's actually pretty clear, the kind of basic outlines of it. So I want to just touch on a few things today. Maybe we'll take it up more in the future as well. Because the saints have written a lot about this. There's all the saints have commented on it, I shouldn't say all the saints because I haven't read all the saints, but many of the great saints, whether it's St. Augustine, you know, Thomas Aquinas, you know, even John Henry Newman has this fascinating and really interesting commentary and reflection on the return of the Lord and dimensions of the book of Revelation as well. But one of the places to start is in the catechism. I would encourage you, take some time to pull up. You can just go to the internet. You can just type in the Catechism of the Catholic Church, and you could just type in the area of, say, the return of the Lord or the second coming. And what'll pop up are the paragraphs that talk about the ascension of our Lord, the fact that we're in the last hour of human history, and what that means for us, and what characterizes this final time between the two comings of Jesus. Very important for us to be able to see it. You know, like, for example, in paragraph 672, which I use often in talking to people, giving talks in different places to try to situate really the mind, to have an eternal perspective and have the mind of Christ, it's helped for us to understand how Jesus understands the time that we're living in. And so directly, paragraph 672 says, according to the Lord, the present time is the time of the Spirit and of witness. So the outpouring of the Holy Spirit, beginning with the day of Pentecost, the church lives from her perennial Pentecost. The Spirit of God is constantly being poured out by the Lord to give life to the church and to lead us to become witnesses, to bear witness to the reality of Jesus' passion, death, resurrection, his ascension into glory, offer the forgiveness of sins and new life in Christ, in the church. And he says, but this time is still marked by distress and the trial of evil, which does not spare the church. So the catechism is saying, Jesus spoke to us about the present time. One characteristic of the present time is the distress that we live in. The distress comes from the trial against evil, which is led by Satan, the kingdom of darkness. The church lives in a constant battle. And so, despite the fact that we might like it to be different, the catechism is clear. It says, this battle does not spare the church. And it'll continue until it ushers in the struggles of the last days. So this is a time of waiting and watching as well, the catechism says, watching and waiting for the return of the Lord. So a spiritual conflict is right at the heart of it. And so there's dimensions of understanding the final battle that the church can speak of in a way that I think is just really, really very helpful. Paragraph 675 says, before Christ's second coming, the church must pass through a final trial that will shake the faith of many believers. This period of time is a time of the Antichrist. It's a time when there's going to be a great apostasy. The church is clear, and I'm going to read this to you, the role of the Antichrist and how history will unfold before the return of the Lord. Let's just read on. The persecution that accompanies her pilgrimage on earth will unveil the mystery of iniquity in the form of a religious deception, offering men an apparent solution to their problems at the price of apostasy from the truth. So there will be a great deception that comes. There's always battles with deception and darkness, the kingdom of darkness throughout history. But just prior to the Lord's return, it's going to get raised to a much higher level. There's going to be tremendous deception across society and across the culture and within the church itself. And many people, and the church is just articulating what's in the scripture, Jesus warned about a great apostasy. Paul spoke specifically about it in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 and other places. And so before Jesus returns, there's going to be a great falling away, a big falling away from the faith. Now, I find that interesting because of what we're seeing around the world in many places. The collapse of Christendom, a great apostasy is happening. Whether it's the final one, it's not certain. But if it's not the final one, if we're not literally in those end times, this is an amazing dress rehearsal because it really does correspond to what Jesus and the apostles said would happen. Paragraph 675 goes on. It says, the supreme religious deception is that of the Antichrist, a pseudo-messiahism by which man glorifies himself in the place of God and of his Messiah come in the flesh. At the heart of an Antichrist spirit is the denial of Jesus coming in the flesh, that God became one of us, and that Christ is the King and Lord of all, and everything is in his hands, and that he's passed from death to life, and he alone is Lord. Paragraph 676, the Antichrist deception already begins to take shape in the world every time the claim is made to realize within history that messianic hope, which can only be realized beyond history through the eschatological judgment, that is the return of the Lord and his final judgment over all things. It says, the church has rejected even modified forms of this falsification of the kingdom to come under the name of millenarianism, especially the intrinsically perverse political form of a secular messianism. Like what that means is like the Marxist, for example, materialist. They denied the heavenly realm. They denied that God existed. They denied that Jesus was God's son, or denied the afterlife. But instead, there's these political forces, economic and social forces in the world that in time, you know, are in conflict together, and the proletariat, the poor, are going to overthrow the rich, and there's going to be this messianic unity, this kind of kingdom on earth that's going to come as a result of it. That's a lie. It's not true. Paragraph 677 goes on to say, the church will enter the glory of the kingdom only through this final Passover, when she will follow her Lord into his death and resurrection. The kingdom will be fulfilled then, not by a historic triumph of the church through a progressive ascendancy, but only by God's victory over the final unleashing of evil, which will cause his bride to come down from heaven. God's triumph over the revolt of evil will take the form of the last judgment after the final cosmic upheaval of this passing world. So this paragraph is essentially saying human history is not progressing like progressives talk about it, or even sometimes people in the church talk about it. There's not a constant, steady ascendancy of improvement, of more and more of God's kingdom, more and more, so that when Jesus comes, we'll pretty much have it all in hand and we'll just hand it to him. We've perfected it. It's happened. That's not the way it's going to be. There's going to be a tremendous final battle. Here it's called the final Passover, where we will follow the Lord in his death and resurrection. The church will undergo a great persecution. So in just reading the book of Revelation, reading St. Augustine, Thomas Aquinas, and others, there's just key elements that we know are going to happen. It's interesting that some of these are happening. For example, Jesus talks about the signs of the end times. He tells us we don't know the day or the hour, but he does tell us to pay attention. He said, when you see these things happen, it's drawing near. For example, in Matthew 24, 14, before Jesus returns, the gospel will be preached to the whole world. Matthew 24, 14. It's an interesting one because we're living at a time and those organizations, those missionary organizations that keep track of very closely the various people groups and language groups around the world and how many have or have not heard the gospel. And we're right at a point in history, right around now, at least those who are projecting, those who are engaged in the work, that literally every language group on the earth apparently will have had an opportunity to hear the gospel. Partly that's the result of technology has made possible. And so this is a very important sign, and it's actually coming to be roughly in our time, give or take a decade or so. That's something that's worth noting. Another one is the ingathering of the Jews, the return of the Jews to Israel, which has happened in our time. And the conversion, what we're going to see and what's quoted here in the Catechism, echoing St. Paul's teaching in Romans chapter 11, that before the Lord comes, there will be a large number of Jewish people in Israel who will come to believe in Jesus as the Messiah, and they, the chosen people, will cry out for the return of the Messiah. It's very interesting. What you see right now, there's more conversions happening in the state of Israel among Jewish people and even outside the state of Israel than any time in history since the beginning of the church. There will be a great apostasy that was talked about here in the Catechism. St. Paul talked about it. Jesus referred to it. We're living at a time, brothers and sisters, of a great apostasy. Whether it's the great apostasy is another question. But that's an important sign. In fact, Newman and others said the two big ones are the great apostasy and then the rise of the Antichrist, the man of sin. This is a physical, historical person. We don't know if he's in the world now. He could be, given all the different signs that are unfolding. It's not just a vague sort of thing. There's Antichrist types that exist in history, but there will be a final rise of the Antichrist who will be empowered by Satan himself in a very significant way, who's going to come to a place of ascendancy in globally in a political structure where many, many people are going to follow him because he's going to bring peace in the midst of conflict. There's going to be performing of signs and wonders. He's going to wow people. He's going to be super attractive, and people are going to leave the church. And people who aren't in the church in large numbers will follow him, believing in him. And he's going to lead in that time a great persecution of the church. He's going to persecute the church profoundly. And the church will be persecuted at that time like no other time in history. That's another sign of what will happen just prior to the Lord's return. Well, as these things are happening, the Lord, the day and the time is set by the Father when the Lord will come again. And the sign of the Son of Man will appear in heaven. And the judgment of the king will come and the judgment will take place. He's going to separate the sheep and the goats, just like he talks about throughout the Gospels. It's so clear in the book of Revelation and in other places. And he said, when we see these signs, look up with great joy. Don't be afraid. If you're in the Lord, you don't have anything to be afraid of, because you're going to rejoice because the king is coming to finally deal with evil one last time and establish and bring his kingdom. We don't make the kingdom happen in the sense of we don't create the final kingdom. The Lord, it's the Lord's gift to us. So friends, there's a lot for us to look forward to and to learn in these days. And I hope you can receive it as well in the Lord. God bless you. Have a great day.
Each program of Fire on the Earth with Peter Herbeck can be downloaded at AveMariaRadio.net and RenewalMinistries.net. Fire on the Earth is a production of Ave Maria Radio.
Friends, I'd like to offer you my new booklet, Unfailing Promises. In these challenging and unsettling times, the promises of God are a sure anchor and a source of great encouragement for all of us. For your free copy of Unfailing Promises, call 1-800-282-4789. That's 1-800-282-4789, or go to renewalministries.net/FOE or subscribe to our podcast.